We're going to start the service a little bit different today, and the Joyful Noise Chamber Orchestra, they're going to do Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You, the Ode to Joy. We will be accompanying them on the third verse, so when I stand up, we'll sing what's on the screen right now. So just wanted to let you know that.
So the children's story today is in heaven forever. Does anybody know what last Monday was? Halloween. Guess who had extra candy? Coming up? Any other takers? Okay. Well, now, see, now there's two. It's all about the candy. Now you have to get permission before you eat it afterwards, though, okay? Okay? Okay. So do you guys know what a riddle is?
Yes.
Okay, are you very good at riddles?
No.
Yeah, me neither. So I got a couple for you today. Mary's father has four children. Three are named Nana, Nina, and Nina. What is the fourth child's name?
Nana.
No, it's Mary, because remember I said Mary's father has four children. Sometimes these riddles are tricky. So they didn't all know the answer either. Don't let them kid you. So how many months have 28 days? Hey, who's giving the answer back here? The answer is all of them. Say all of them. Good answer. Okay. So what is full of holes but can still hold water?
I don't know.
Anybody want to help her? Sponge. Because it can hold water and it has holes. It asked me to bring a sponge today, but I...
And sponge can wash plates.
Yes, sponge can wash plates. And so what we're going to talk about today is a riddle the religious leaders gave Jesus. And I'm going to read it to you because it's way too tricky to try to remember it. Yeah. The law of Moses says that if a man dies leaving a wife but no children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who will carry on the brother's name. Well, suppose there's seven brothers. The oldest one married and then died without children. So the second brother married the widow, but he also died. Then the third brother married her. And this continued until all seven married the same woman. And so they said, so tell us in heaven, who's going to be the husband? And that's kind of a silly riddle, isn't it? Because we don't know. We're not in heaven. And so we're going to talk about in this service, but what Jesus tells them is don't think that things on earth are going to be the same as things on hell, as in heaven. And so for us, it's only important to remember to do what's necessary to become closer to Jesus so that we can go to heaven. So do you want the candy now? So how about I give these to you?
Okay.
Do you have to take one home for Dale, or are we good? Whoa. Should have been up here, Joe. This is your big chance. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful that we can share stories of how you care for us and how you lead us in Scripture and guide us and direct us in all we do. Amen. Thank you for coming forward. So our scripture today is from Luke. It's chapter 20, verses 27 through 38. There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, and they ask him a question, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up the offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children, and the second and the third took her. And likewise, all seven left no children and died. Afterwards, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife. And Jesus said to them, The sons of the age marry and are given in marriage, but those are considered worthy to attain that age and to the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor given in marriage. For they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush that he calls the Lord God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. So I call this belief in the resurrection. And so this idea, this marriage law they had was that if a person died childless in order to continue to have the name of the family go on, then another brother would marry that wife. And they're not really sure that was kind of an Old Testament. They're not really sure that was continuing at this time when Jesus is talking. But that's kind of what the trick question is about here. And so I think for us, a lot of times we talk about Pharisees and Sadducees, we kind of lump them together and act like they're the same and they believe the same, and they really didn't. And so the first part, what I want to talk about today, is the differences that they had between themselves. So for the Pharisees, they were a religious body. They really didn't have any political ambition. And so part of that is they didn't really care who ran the government as long as it didn't keep them from doing their services like they wanted to. So they just didn't care. Now for Sadducees, there weren't a lot of them, but they were wealthy. They usually were priests or aristocrats, and they were the governing class of the area. They collaborated with Rome, and the reason they did that is because they wanted to maintain their wealth, comfort, their prestige, and place of society. So it's really all about them. We don't want to be harmed or not able to live the life the way we want to. Pharisees accepted the scriptures plus all the regulations and rules. Sadducees only accepted the written law of the Old Testament and the law of Moses. Pharisees believed in resurrection, that it was going to be in the form when you were risen, you were going to be in the form of an angel or a spirit. And Sadducees absolutely did not believe in resurrection, which is why they asked Jesus this question. So Pharisees believed that life was planned and ordered by God. Sadducees believed we had unrestricted free will. So in a lot of ways, they were really different. Pharisees believed and hoped for the Messiah to come. Sadducees didn't, but it's back to the same thing. If the Messiah comes and the world is changed, then that's going to affect them. So in a lot of ways, they're kind of like a lot of us now. It's all about me. How am I going to be affected if something changes? So the Sadducees asking this question, and even for that time, it was kind of a silly question. No one would have asked it. It was kind of a trick question. And so what Jesus responds to him is, you guys are acting like what we see on earth is going to be the same as what we see in heaven. That it's just going to transform one to the other. And so what he tells them is, don't speculate on what heaven is or isn't, and leave all that to God. And so where I see this a lot of times, if you attend a funeral, people seem to think that they're going to meet their loved ones, and it's going to be the same. And I believe they're going to meet their loved ones. I just don't think it's the same. I think somehow you're going to know, but I believe we always view it as you're going to look the same as you did when you're on earth. And I don't think that's really true. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell them. Don't try to compare what we have participated in on earth for a relatively short time of world history, of the history of God, and think that that's what we're going to see in heaven. So I want to read this from Exodus. It's 3:1-6. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And so what Jesus told him the scripture for was to prove to them there was a resurrection. He's using God's own words because they would have believed in the Old Testament. They're giving them this Old Testament where when God speaks out and he talks about those three men that they would have all known. And so what he's telling us is God is not the God of the dead, but God is the God of the living. And so if we're all going to continue to live, then this idea of resurrection has to be true. And that's the point of the story. Now, I think that we learned something maybe that's more important for us here. Jesus is using an argument that everybody there that was listening to him would know. And I think sometimes when we are talking to people about our faith and trying to make them understand why we believe, we use terms that people don't know. So we'll talk about being saved. At the Vacation Bible School last week, somebody asked the question about what saved meant. And some of the kids sort of knew and some didn't. But I think we all do that sometimes because we have a feeling of what that word means, then we think that everybody around us does. Well, what Jesus was doing 2,000 years ago was he spoke to them in terms and words that they would understand. What I think is important for us is when we're talking to somebody is to do that same thing. Now, when I first came here and you guys were all wearing masks, it was really hard to tell when I was talking to you if you guys like zoned out or if I totally lost you. Because the way I tell now is I can look at your face. So if I say something and I see about 80% of the people going, I don't know what he's talking about, then I know that I might want to rephrase that or say it in a different way. And with the mask, it was really hard because you just couldn't see the look on people's face. When you're talking to somebody about your faith, when you're sharing that with them, you need to look at them that same way. And if you feel like you lost them, then you probably need to state that in a different way, a way that they would understand. And so part of that is listening. The question is, are you listening? And so for us, we have to have a feeling of how much people understand or don't understand before we can talk to them about any subject. So if somebody came, somebody was talking about science today. Oh, Rick and I were talking about science and chemistry. If somebody came up to me and started giving me this, and I know there's science teachers in here, so don't be offended, and were talking to me about science, something, blah, 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 somewhere along the line, I would hear, it was one of the cartoons, oh, it's Charlie Brown. I'd hear, yeah, because it just wouldn't mean anything to me. And I can do that with golf. I'll start talking to somebody about golf, and I can tell after about 5 seconds that they're not interested. The problem is I don't stop then. I keep talking about it. Because it's interesting to me. And so for us, we learn a lesson in that. When we're talking to somebody, we have to make sure we're on the same page, that we're talking about the same thing. Because sometimes we're really excited and we're talking about it, and they're looking at us like, I have no idea what he's talking about, and I can't get away fast enough. So I'll give you a perfect example. You ever been to any kind of a meeting and somebody says they're an insurance salesman? And even if you're not, just tell somebody at a party sometime you're an insurance salesman and you're currently active, and you can just watch them walk away from you like this. Because they don't know what kind of insurance you sell. They just don't want to be involved in anything you're selling. They don't want to hear about it, don't want to talk about it. But sometimes we do that with religion the same way. We do that same thing. We talk to people in a way that we understand, but we don't say it in a way that they understand. So we're going to have communion in a few minutes. And one of the things I'd like for you to think about as you come forward after and you take communion is, how can God lead me in a way that when I talk with someone, when I try to explain my faith, that I'll be open to His guidance, so that I say it in a way those people can understand? Because if you're the most fervent, tell everybody about your faith, but if you're doing it in a way that people can understand, then, so it's like we named the band The Joyful Noise. It's in, I think it's 1 Corinthians. You don't want to be like a clanging bell. If you talk about something that people don't understand, you're the same as a clanging bell. They can't understand you. And so you want that to be a joyful noise that you share with them, that you share it in a way that they understand. So as we come forward for communion, pray to the Lord that you could be that joyful noise, that way that they could understand what you're sharing, that you can understand God's what God wants you to do in a way that all of them will understand. So communion today, you get to talk back to me, so I'll lead you into your parts. The Lord be with you, and the congregation said,
also with you.
Lift up your hearts, and the congregation said, let us give thanks to the Lord our God, and the congregation said, it is right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You made from every nation and people to live on the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. And God's people said,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be the witness to the ends of earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today his family is leading in all holy tables around your world. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as I drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ, offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. And the people said,
Christ is died. Christ is risen.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with the church throughout the world and strengthen it in every nation among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And we all said, Amen. This cup represents his blood shed for us. This bread, his body broken for us. So in the United Methodist Church, we believe in an open communion, which means anyone who can come may come forward. Do not have to be a member of this church or any other church. At this time, if you'd come down the middle aisle and then exit to the sides, please. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, as we go out into your world, let us choose the words that you lead us to say, so that as we come into contact with those who do not know your love and grace, we'll be led by you in a way that will bring them into your family. Amen.